Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I absolutely love baby dedications. It's one of the things that, as a pastor, it is always such a privilege to be able to do. But it is, what a privilege it is for a family to be able to bring their baby into the church and publicly say that we want to raise our child the way that God is instructing us. But it's also such a responsibility for us as a church, because it's a commitment saying that we are going to support these parents as they raise their children, because many of you will serve as the children's workers when she gets of age to be able to go downstairs, and potentially once she becomes a teenager and she's serving in the youth department. And as Aaron and Lisa Marie brought little Emma here to be dedicated, they are saying, we are accountable to raise this little girl. We have just publicly declared that we are going to raise her the way that God has instructed us. And I'm sure that for all of us here, we have areas of our lives where we probably need a little bit of accountability. I know for me, I've recognized that a little bit more so over this last little while. I've been walking through a devotional plan with a friend of mine. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but this is all brand new to me in the last couple of weeks. But in the Bible app, you can actually invite a friend to do the devotional with you, and then at the very end, it gives you a spot where you can record your thoughts and record what God has been speaking to you about. And that's really helped me keeping me accountable and being able to get my devotionals done, because I found this to be helpful in ensuring that I'm setting aside time every single day. And now you might start thinking, well, he's a pastor, he should be doing this. But do you know, sometimes it's easy to spend all day studying the word for your sermon. But I also need to set aside that time for me personally, because Chad needs to be growing. Chad needs to be developing. It's so easy, you know, when I open up the passage of scripture that I'm going to be reading, and God is trying to speak to me, and I'm looking at it saying, man, this is going to preach. But God is saying, no, this is for you. I'm speaking into your heart right now. Don't be trying to get a sermon out of this passage that I'm giving to you right now. Take the time to sit and listen to what I am saying to you. But sometimes we just hit the floor and we just start running. And it's important to have that accountability. I also give people that I am in relationship with the opportunity to speak into my life. So, I mean, for Travis and I, this is the friend of mine that I do this devotional with. So we, each day, before the day is over, we have to go in and we have to spend time with God. We have to write what God has been speaking to us about. And by having that relationship, if at the end of the day I haven't heard from Travis or Travis hasn't heard from me, he has the right and I have the right to contact him and say, hey, have you set aside time today to spend with God? Are you allowing yourself to be held accountable? For me, another area of my life that I realized that I needed some accountability was in the area of physical activity. I know that I need to do it. Now, I don't know about any of you here, but I mean, since I've moved to the Valley, I've kind of fallen off the train. I used to be actually quite active before I moved here, and I thought that moving here and not having snow and, you know, being able to get outside, that I'd be a lot more active. Doesn't work that way. No, and I'm starting to find, oh, some of my pants are a little too tight, and oh, I have to maybe invest in some new shirts. No, I don't want to invest, I just need to be able to get back on track. But the thing is that when our mental and emotional life is doing well, it has a great impact on our spiritual lives. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. So, I mean, there's a reason why we've been instructed in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. Like everything, it makes it up. So they're all tied together. They all work together. The physical impacts the mental. The mental impacts the spiritual. How many times, if you're not in a good headspace, sometimes the spiritual life does struggle. Do you find that? It's not just me? Okay, it's good to know. But in my physical life, I realized that I needed to invite somebody in. So I had invited Travis in to help hold me accountable in regards to my spiritual life, and then I realized that I needed to invite somebody in to hold me accountable. So I don't know about you, but have you ever had one of these workout plans where you start on it and you get into the gym, or you get, for me, I go out into my garage and I will start to do it. And then after the first round, it's like I'm huffing, I'm puffing, I got some sweat on my brow, and it's like, I'm good. I was supposed to do two more rounds, but I'm good. At least if anybody says later on to me, did you do your workout today? I could say, yes, I did. I didn't do the full workout, but I did my entire workout. But knowing how I operate and how I can tend to slack off, I had to invite a couple of people into my life to help me out. So there's two things that I've got on the go right now, is that I've got a friend of mine who shows up at my house every morning at 6:15, and we do a workout in my garage. And that's a really early time. And the funny thing is that this past week, we haven't been able to connect, and even my daughter's holding me accountable, and she's saying, I thought Alan was coming over this morning to do work. I was like, well, it's not working this week. We kind of had to put things on hold. But on top of that, I realized that I need to still kick it up. So for the month of November, you might think that I'm a little crazy, but I'm doing, with somebody else in the church, I won't point out who it is, but with some, we're actually doing a burpee challenge. Does anybody here know what a burpee is? Aren't they the most awful thing that was ever created by fitness instructors? They are awful. I'm not going to demonstrate, because I'd have one, I'd be huffing and puffing, and then I wouldn't be able to preach for the next. But anyway, we are doing a challenge of 50 burpees a day for the entire month of November. Why? Right? Why? Why would we do this? So what we do is we do our 50 burpees, we send a text to each other, and just to hold each other accountable. And there's a reason why I have to do this. Because, like I said, I can slack off. And for example, for me, on day 9, I kind of fell off the bandwagon. I went 5 days without doing a single burpee. So what does that mean? I've got 250 burpees to make up. Because it's not just about not doing, you know, just picking up where you left off. No, we have to go back and we have to make up for those. So this past week, like, there were two mornings where I had to get up and do 150 burpees just to start my day. Like, so in the entire month, I think we do 1,500. And so we're over the halfway mark. But there was times where I'd even be sitting on my couch and thinking, I got 50 burpees to do. And I just continue to eat popcorn and watch a TV show or something. It's like, I got 50 burpees to do. And I would not get up and do it. But sometimes when we get to that place, we allow ourselves to actually get overwhelmed. It's like, I can't do it. I've fallen off the bandwagon. There's no way that I can pick up and keep going. So what do? We just sit back in our slumber and just say, well, I just can't do anything about this. So what about you? What thing have you been wrestling with or saying, I really need to have somebody hold me accountable in this area of my life? I have not been doing so well. And I need to have somebody that is going to speak into my life that I'm going to be held accountable to, and I will hold myself accountable to them. You know the area of your life that you lack discipline. Who are you able to reach out to and invite into your life? You may be even wondering, well, what exactly would this look like? Well, I came up with a few examples, and maybe one of them will hit you. I don't know. But say, for example, when you go out to eat, it's like you always go, you're going out for dinner at Boston Pizza, and you know that you don't always make the greatest choices. So before you even walk into the restaurant, send a text message off to a friend of yours and say, hey, I'm going out for dinner tonight with my wife or with my family or with some friends. Can you check in with me in about 2 hours and make sure that I've made the right choice? Because the thing is, as you walk into the restaurant thinking, I'm going to have a salad, I'm going to have a nice healthy meal, you walk in, you smell the pizza baking, you smell the French fries in the deep fryer, you hear what everyone else is ordering, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'll have that too. But when you make that purposeful decision before you even go in to send that text message, you know that somebody's going to be asking you afterwards, did you make the right decision? Maybe you're here and you work out of town a lot, and you have to spend a lot of nights in a lonely hotel room or in a camp. You know, sometimes when we get alone, we don't always make the right decisions. Send a text message off to a friend of yours, somebody that will hold you accountable, and say, hey, you know, things are good right now, but I'm going into this hotel room or into the camp tonight. Can you check in with me in the morning and just make sure that I have made the right choices, that I've made proper decisions? It's amazing that the moment that you reach out and ask for help, the enemy's foothold that he was hoping to have has been completely destroyed. You're not giving the enemy a foothold into your life. You go in and you're setting yourself up for success, and you know that tomorrow morning, Bob or Bill or Betty is going to be contacting you and saying, hey, did you make the right decisions last night while you were in that hotel room? And it just frees you up to be able to do what God is asking you to do. Maybe you struggle to take control of situations at work, and you tend to want to be the boss, or you micromanage people. Why don't you ask a friend or a colleague to hold you accountable? You know the areas that need tweaking in your life. Decide yourself what it is that you need to do. I don't need to list off a whole bunch of things, and you might be thinking, well, note those three areas that he just listed. I don't struggle with any of those. But you know what it is that's going on in your life and the thing that God has been speaking into your heart about. Are you going to do something about that? Are you prepared to make the tweaks that need to be done? You know, we have been on this series, and we've got two more weeks this week and next week in this season of the series of seasons. And the one thing that we've been learning is that transitions move us forward. We, sometimes in our own lives, we need to be making tweaks. We've been making some tweaks here at the church. And I thank you. I want to publicly say thank you, because you have been doing a great job with incorporating these tweaks into your life. And some of them you probably haven't even realized that you've done it. It's just like, oh, this is how we're doing it. So, for example, I want to thank you for ensuring that when the slide comes up in regards to the children, that you make sure that they make their way downstairs for children's ministry. I love that the children are able to be here in the service and to be able to participate in the worship. It makes it so much easier for them. You know, when they get to that age where children's ministry is done and they're coming back into the service, they know what to expect. A lot of times children will come in and they'll just immediately go right downstairs, and they don't understand what it looks like to be a part of corporate worship. And then when they get to grade 6 or 7, where they're not wanting to be downstairs, they struggle to be in the service because they don't know what it's like to actually be in the service. In regards to our first impressions team, I want to thank you because you're freeing them up to effectively greet new people. So what's happened is, you probably noticed, is that we have baskets put in various places throughout the church where you are able to receive a bulletin. Because it used to be that I'd see a mom walking in, she's got a child on her arm, she's holding another one in the hand, she's trying to open the door, it's raining, and meanwhile we've got a greeter trying to put a bulletin into their hand. Allow the mom to get in and kind of get situated. And so when she's ready to receive that bulletin, so we have these set up, and I want to thank you for grabbing one when you need it, but also as a result, some of you have been signing up for receiving the bulletins online and saving a tree. I'm still working on this whole environmental thing because I live on the island. So we're always trying to save a tree. We're always trying to do things that are environmentally friendly. And again, another tweak is thank you for assisting us with moving our prayer time. Used to be up in the fireside room. And a lot of people didn't even know that prayer was taking place before the service. And the reason why I know that is because there were only a handful of people, less than a handful of people, that were gathering up there. So what we've decided is, let's move prayer down into the sanctuary. Let's begin to fill this place with an atmosphere of praise and worship. And as a result, we are getting more and more people joining us on Sunday mornings. And if you have a heart for prayer, or if you just want to have a quiet place just before the service comes, please come and join us. You'll see people walking around. You'll see people sitting. You can pray out. You can pray quiet. It is a place where we are able to gather as a congregation and prepare our hearts for what God has in store for us in this place. So again, I want to thank you for incorporating these little subtle tweaks into your lives and helping us with them. So as I said, we've been talking about we've been in a series of seasons. And last weekend, Trevor brought us into winter. Winter can be a very tough time for many people. I actually never noticed it before until I moved here, but the days seem to be significantly shorter here. I don't know why it is. Does anybody else notice that? Like, I'm not used to 4:15 or 4:30, my outside lights already coming on. It seems like that's really early. But the long, cold days with limited sunshine can have an impact on a person's mental well-being. For me, I've been having to make some slight tweaks in order that I retrain my brain. I was nervous about moving here because people kept saying, are you prepared for those long gray days? Are you prepared for, you know, the rainy days and all that sort of stuff? And I thought, well, it can't be as bad as you think. And I so far, so good. But everyone says that this has been an abnormal fall. Has it been an abnormal fall? So I'm just saying thank you, Jesus, for easing me in slowly. I will admit that I did go to Costco a couple weeks ago when they had them on sale and bought one of those happy lights because I thought, you know, just to be on the safe side, I've got it in my house, it's still in the box, and it has the receipt. I'm hoping and believing that I'm not going to have to pull this thing out, and then in the springtime, because Costco takes everything back, I'll just be able to go and just return it. But I have it there. It's kind of like an insurance policy. It's there. I'm hoping that I don't need to have to use it. But I've had to purpose in my heart right from the beginning to do something about this. Because I do know that I wrestle with seasonal affective disorder. So if it's been about 4 or 5 days of overcast, it starts to have an impact on me. And thankfully, I've got Kyla who holds me accountable. And she'll, I mean, I don't know if I've shared this before, but you know, when I'd be working in Calgary, if we had a few dreary days, she would call and she could tell right away. And she'd say, can you stop at the tanning bed on your way home? And instantly I knew that I was really lacking in vitamin D. So she'd just basically say, just go and get a replenish and then come home and then you'll be a lot happier. So it's one of those things that I have it, okay? But I'm choosing to say I have it, not it has me. And knowing that, I work with it. But what are some of the perks of winter? I mean, there's got to be great perks to winter, the winter season, isn't there? Eating. Skiing. Cozy fires. Summer's coming, is that what you say? Does anybody else turn on the fireplace on their TV? Does anybody else besides me get really hot when that fireplace is going, even though it's not giving off heat? I find that I suddenly get really warm. But warm socks, hot chocolate, Christmas lights, Christmas carols, Christmas shirts, right? I tried on a suit this past week, and you'll be very thankful that I did not buy it, and I just eased myself in with a nice cheap shirt from Dollarama, $4. You know, you couldn't go wrong. I really, really, really wanted the suit, but we just couldn't justify $129 for something that I'd wear, you know, 10 or 20 times. Who are we kidding? Because we know that I'd probably wear it a lot more than just once or twice during the season. Hot turkey sandwiches. Hot soup. Who likes scarf and sweater season? Yeah. Yeah. I knew that there'd be a few of those. Just so you know, this is only temporary. I'm not growing this because it's winter. My wife needs to practice hot shaves because she's going to be introducing that in the salon. And so I had to grow a little bit of a beard. I was supposed to get rid of it yesterday, but she got booked up, a good problem. But you're stuck with seeing me with a beard. But by next Sunday, this will be gone. Because the kids come up to me, they come and give me a hug, and they'll kind of rub my face, do a little slap, and say, you need to get rid of that. Because they do not like it. Eggnog, cuddling, snowboarding and skiing, ugly sweater parties. How about vacations to tropical destinations? Isn't that a perk of winter? That's right. But when I read this list, I think to myself, okay, winter's not so bad. And as Joel reminded us a few weeks ago when he spoke on fall, it all comes down to perspective. How do you focus your mind? Do you have somebody in your life that will hold you accountable? You know, in the dark winter days, it can be very easy to just kind of allow yourself to get down. And then what happens is we start to speak negatively. Do we have somebody that can come alongside of us and encourage us and say, hey, I've just noticed that things are a little off. Do you need a little bit of an attitude adjustment? The season of winter is a great time to reflect on what God has done. It's a time to appreciate all that we have. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 provides us with an excellent reminder. It says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. So this is a perfect reminder for all of us, no matter what season of life you may be in. What we hear through this verse is that no matter what, rejoice, be cheerful, choose joy. We are to always be praying. Sometimes we wonder, well, how long should I be praying for? What should I be doing? One of the tricky ones on this when it comes to prayer is praying for food. We know when and how to pray for others, but what about food? When do we pray? How do we pray? Who does the praying? Well, why don't you watch this clip and get an understanding of how to pray over food. So there you go. There you have your answer on how you should pray over a meal. Sorry about the glitch in the video. It was working great. You know how it always is. It's before the service, everything is working tickety-boo. As soon as you go to fire it up. But yeah, I saw that video and I thought, okay, it doesn't really tie in, but I thought it's a good humor because sometimes we always wonder. And it's true. It seems like no matter where I go, because I'm the pastor, it's like, oh, pastor, can you pray? It's like, why do I have to pray for every single meal? You're capable of praying as well. So be prepared. If I get invited over for dinner, I may put it back on you. But the verse finishes out by saying, give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what has happened, thank God. If God has provided for you, thank Him. If God is holding something back, thank Him. If you are still waiting on God, thank Him. No matter what circumstance we are in, we are to be thanking God for that circumstance. As I was preparing, I had this statement just dropped into my heart, and it says, if you don't have it, you don't need it. When you need it, God will provide it. So I've titled this message, You've Got It, Now Go. So a few weeks ago, we talked about what we may need here at the church. I reminded you that if God is laying something upon your heart and you believe that we need this in the church, then God is speaking to you about this. And as I've reflected on the various seasons in light of Comox Pentecostal Church, I believe in some respects that we're almost in a bit of a season of winter. Winter is a season where things can lie dormant. Winter is a season where things can hibernate. But it also can be a time of preparation, of listening, of waiting, and of observing. For me, when I get an idea in my head, I tend to want to get up and start going. I can be quick to jump on board and just get the ball rolling. But I have had to purpose in my heart and in my mind to just simply slow down and wait on God. Not every idea has to be a Chad-ordained idea. I need to ensure that my idea is a God-ordained idea. During this season on series, I believe that God has been speaking into many hearts right across this place. I believe that He has been preparing you for what is in store for you. I believe that God has been leading us as a church towards discipleship, towards building community and reaching out into our valley. And on that, we've been sharing a little bit about that at our dinner, at the dinners that we've been hosting on Tuesday nights. And if you haven't signed up for one yet, there's still space available for this coming Tuesday and the next Tuesday. And it's just for the month of November, but we would love to be able to get together with you and have you in our home and prepare a meal for you. But just so you know, just like your home, you probably don't have dessert every single night. We don't have dessert at these dinners unless somebody brings it. So that's just a subtle hint. You know, if you're showing up and you want to bring dessert, that one's on you. Because if you're wanting it, God's speaking to your heart and He's saying you want to have dessert, so you need to bring it over. Gluten-free, I might add, just as that. But one question that I've been contemplating is this. How do we as a church move from being consumers to being producers? What do I mean by that? I believe that God is stirring something in your heart. What if God is saying to you, instead of waiting for this to be produced so that you can consume it, why don't you produce it so that others are able to reap from what you are producing. It's easy to walk into a church and focus on what the church doesn't have. For example, you can walk into this church, and I've heard it said, it's like, oh man, I wish that we had a bigger foyer so that people would be able to connect with better. I wish that we could update the carpet and the pews. I wish that there was a way that we could get into the community. Right now, I make the choice to say, at least we have people connecting in the foyer, no matter the size. At least when you come to church, we have something to sit on. You have a pew to sit on. At least we're starting to meet new people in the community. But then I'm reminded of a statement I shared just a few moments ago. If you don't have it, you don't need it. When you need it, God will provide it. So I choose to give thanks and say, thank you, Jesus, that you are going to open the door for us to have a bigger foyer. Thank you, Jesus, that soon we will have new chairs in this place and get rid of the pews. Silence. Thank you, Jesus, that you are going to open the doors for us to be able to get into the community. We tend to fixate on what we don't have before we will start something. I believe that whatever it is that God is speaking into your heart, He has already provided you with what you need to get it started. Do you believe that? So I want you to listen to the encouragement that we receive from this passage. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 126. It's going to be on the screen for you as well, but we're going to be reading from Psalms 126. And Father, as we go into your word this morning, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you, and that we would receive the encouragement in our hearts that you are speaking through this passage. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 126, it starts, it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. What he's saying is that when the Lord restored the fortunes, it was like a dream come true. Everything that we had hoped for had come to pass. Verse 2, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. As we looked at everything, we couldn't help but to laugh and to sing. We were in utter amazement. It was so hard to believe, it was so hard to believe, and we just looked and said, look what the Lord has done. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. I like how the Message worded this passage. It said, we were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. Next verse, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. What's happening here is now the cry is going forth again. They are asking God to do this again. Pour it out, O God. Let it come forth like water. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. They had labored. They had worked. It says that they sowed in tears. God, we have done the hard work. We are believing that we will reap a great harvest. And then it says, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. We are believing that those who have left with such a heavy heart will come back with their arms overflowing with blessing. We're believing that they will come back full of joy. So there's three very simple lessons that we are able to learn from this passage. And the first one is this, is that God has done great things. God has done great things. You're going to see some pictures coming across the screen here in just a few moments. And these are pictures, if Chris, can you just go to the next slide? These are individuals, it didn't work, okay. Go back up. No, click just, oh. Okay, anyway, there was a whole selection of pictures. Again, technology, I love it. But anyway, it was pictures of individuals that I had the privilege of taking to the Operation Christmas Child Distribution Center in Calgary. We used to do this every year. We would go in and pack the shoeboxes, and it was the final place before they were shipped off overseas. But when I look down at these shoeboxes right here, I'm reminded of how this whole ministry was started. And let me share with you the story. It says, during the summer of 1993, Samaritan's Purse president, Franklin Graham, received a call from a man in England asking his help on behalf of the children in Bosnia who were suffering because of a brutal civil war. The Englishman specifically asked for shoeboxes filled with gifts to deliver to these little ones at Christmas. Samaritan's Purse was already at work in Bosnia, and Franklin had been there 3 times in the previous year, so he was eager to help. Christmas, however, seemed like a long way off. So he put his request aside. And then not long before Thanksgiving, he received a call back from the man in England, quickly reminding him of his promise. Franklin assured him that he was working on it. What was happening is that Franklin Graham was being held accountable for what he said that he would do. So Franklin then called his friend, the late Ross Rhodes, who was serving as senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. He asked if Ross and his wife, Carol, could fill a shoebox with items for a child, show it to their congregation, and ask them to do the same in order to share the true meaning of Christmas with the children of Bosnia. Ross and Carol were eager to assist, and the response was overwhelming. Shortly after Thanksgiving, Ross called Franklin to report that 11,000 shoebox gifts were now lining the hallways of his church. Combining these gifts with more from their Canadian office, Samaritan's Purse sent 28,000 shoebox gifts to children in Bosnia that Christmas. Ross and Carol Rhodes traveled to the war-torn nation to help distribute them. Did Franklin Graham focus on what he didn't have? No. He took the need. He shared it with some friends. They shared the need, and God did great things through that conversation. So what about you? Have you shared what God has been speaking into your heart? Have you taken the time to reflect on all of the great things that God has been doing in your life? Last week, I pulled out one of my journals, and I took the time to read through it. And I find that rereading previous passages can be quite encouraging. It helps you to see where you were at a particular time, what was going on in your life at this particular time, and what God has also brought you through. As I read these entries, I could see that I was going through a bit of a dry patch. I was asking God for specific things. I could see how I was becoming fixated on the finished work and not the current work. My mind was so set on what I believed that God was going to bring us to, that I didn't take the time to even stop in that moment to see what God was doing right then and there. I knew where I wanted to be, but I wanted to get there right now. And as I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, there was a season in our lives where God turned on that red light and says, you just need to stop. You just need to wait and allow me to do a work in your life. So journaling is a great way that we are able to look back and see the great things that God has done. It can also serve as an accountability for you. It reminds you of what God has done. And then secondly, is that God is doing great things. We see this in this passage. God is doing great things right now. Do you believe that? Is God doing something great in your life right now? Are you taking the time to thank Him for what He's doing? It could be something that's really painful. It could be like, I've never gone through anything like this before. You could be in a season. It's like, why am I going through this? Have you stopped to say, you know what, God, thank you that I'm here right now. Thank you that I am alive. Thank you that I have the opportunity to praise you. So again, reflecting on the work of Operation Christmas Child, today, 25 years later, through the countless prayers and the many and the service of thousands of volunteers around the globe, the project has grown to include 8 shoebox packing countries in addition to the 160 countries that receive these shoeboxes every year. When Franklin Graham pitched his idea of packing a shoebox to display to this congregation in North Carolina, did he expect it to grow to be this big? On the OCC website, he wrote, "When I agreed to send shoebox gifts to Bosnia in 1993, I never dreamed it would grow into the project it is today. We praise God for allowing us to touch the lives of so many children and their families with the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world for these past 25 years." My question to you is, are you prepared to speak out what God has been speaking into your heart? Sometimes we're afraid to speak it out because we look at the work that's going to be involved. If God is bringing you to it, He is going to see you through it. You may look and say, "Well, I don't have this and I don't have this." Thank God for what you have right now. And when you need it, He is going to provide it. God wants to do great things in and through every single person in this room. We tend to live in a very consumeristic world. Retailers continue to produce items in an effort to fight to get your attention so that you will consume the item that they have to offer. I've noticed even with some of the shows that you look at the timing of when they come on, because they'll look and they'll see that parents are watching this show right now. So what are they doing right now? They're putting all of these advertisements on for toys. And the kids are in the room and they're like, "Mommy, Mommy, I want this, I want this." They know what they're doing because they want you to consume the item. As I look down at all of these shoeboxes, I can't help but think, man, the money that Walmart and Dollarama has received over this last little while, right? They have just consumed all of these things. But as a church, this is not where our hearts should be. Our hearts and minds should reflect on the children that will receive these shoeboxes. We are producing smiles all around this world. When a child receives this shoebox, they're receiving and hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's a smile being put on their face. What does God want to produce through you? What does He want to produce through you? And then finally in this passage, we learn that God continues to do great things. God is not finished. He did it then. He's doing it today. He will do it again in the future. Do you believe that? You've seen what God has done. You have the faith based on what He's done in the past. But where's your faith today? And next week, we're going to be talking about that as we conclude this series. And we're talking about from reminiscing to resolutions. Sometimes we become so fixated on the things of the past. But God has you here right now, and He's going to do great things as you continue to move forward. When this church was first planted back in the 60s, the group that planted the church watched what God did in and through them. They didn't have much then, but what they did have, they committed it to God. And over the years, this church has continued to grow. They've had to relocate because they've outgrown the places where they were meeting. God continues to do great things in and through us as the body of Comox Pentecostal Church. God is not calling us to be consumers. Do you believe that? But sometimes we go to a church based on what I'm going to get out of this. But do we read that in Scripture? Crickets. What is God wanting to produce through you? God is calling us to go into the world and share the gospel. I believe that God is going to continue to do great things in and through us. God is not calling us to be an inward-focused church. Our focus is to be on reaching the world, reaching the unbelievers. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting Advent. And our theme for Advent this year is a home for Christmas. A home for Christmas. Some people grow up that home is not a safe place. So when they think of going back with their family or spending time with their family, it's not always a safe place. But they're looking for a place that they can call home for Christmas. And our hope and our belief is that we want CPC to be a home for Christmas. When people come in, we want them to feel at home. We want them to know about the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that God wants to pour out upon them. This is a home for Christmas. CPC has started on the foundation of discipleship, of outreach, and community. As we continue to focus on these things, I believe that God is going to continue to do great things in and through us as a church. As I look down at the shoeboxes, I'm reminded of how God continues to work. When I see this, it gives me great hope for the future of CPC and what God is going to do. I see that God is going to produce through us people who are going to disciple, people who are going to do outreach, people who are going to get into the community and build community. How do you want God to use you? Is God calling you to be a consumer, or is He calling you to be a producer? Winter can be a season where things go into hibernation. Perhaps you've been in the season of winter in your own personal life. Something has been hibernating in you. But I believe that life is about to come forth. You're about to come out of that cave. God is about to produce something great in and through you. Perhaps you've had this idea and God is saying, I want you just to sit on this idea right now. It's wintertime. I want you to pause and listen. I want you to reflect and receive. But think about what you have right now. Reflect on what God has already provided to you. And then I encourage you to ask God to continue to prepare you for that great thing that He is going to produce in and through you. Over these last few weeks, has God been stirring something in your heart? Has He been reminding you of that great thing that He has spoken into your heart? Have you been cultivating it? Are you prepared for that thing to start growing? It could be at your workplace. It could be at your family. It could be here in the church. You know what it is that God's been speaking into your heart. The question I have for you then this morning is, who are you going to invite in to allow you to be held accountable for what it is that He's saying in and through you? Sometimes the hardest part for us is to actually speak it out. To speak it out. To bring life to it. Even this morning, even as I shared something so silly with you as this challenge that I'm in for the month of November, I can pretty much be guaranteed that over the coming days, there's going to be various people here who are now going to come up to me and say, are you on track with your burpees? Because I've now spoken it out, even though I'm on day 18. And I held that back. And just like some of you here today are holding back what God has been speaking into your heart, you're afraid to let it come out of your mouth because you're looking and seeing all of the things that you don't have. God has provided you what you need to do what He is calling you to do right now. And as you continue to need extras, He's going to provide extras. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If you believe it, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you believe that God is going to pour out to you that which He has spoken into your heart to meet the need that He's calling you to, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And don't do it simply because the person next to you is doing it. But if you truly believe, take the step of faith. And now I want you just to simply hold out your hands. God, what each person here this morning is holding in their hands, is exactly what they need to move forward in what it is that you're calling them to. Because in their hands, they have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in this world. God, every single person here this morning, in their hands right now, they have everything that they need to move forward in what it is that you're calling them to. They have you on their side. They have you at work in each of their lives. And God, as they have stood this morning and taken that step of faith and saying, God, I know what you've spoken into my heart. And I believe that you're bringing me to that place of speaking it out. I pray that you would bring that person into their path, that they would allow themselves to be held accountable to. God, it could be in the area of finances. It could be in the area of their marriage. It could be in the area of a friendship. It could be physical health, mental health, emotional health. It could be a situation at work. God, you know exactly what it is that they have and what you're calling them to and the tweaking and the changing that they need to make. And God, you have given them every single thing that they need to accomplish what you're asking them to do. And I pray that they would walk under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, because you are at work in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing right now. And we thank you for the great things that you are going to continue to do. And God, I am excited for the testimonies and the stories that we are going to hear of how you have been using people right across this church. Those that have stood here and said, God, you know what's in my heart, and I'm giving it to you. And now as a church, I'm going to ask you just to extend your hands towards these shoe boxes. This doesn't account for all of the 1,600, but these are here in proxy of the 1,600 that are currently in this church. Father, we thank you for every individual that has given out of the abundance of what you have provided. I thank you for each of these individuals that has taken the time to pack these shoe boxes and how they are going to produce smiles all around this world. How when they receive this shoe box, they are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came as a baby in a manger to die on a cross for our sins, to be the Savior of this world. You rose again 3 days later, victorious over death, victorious over sin. And God, you are today seated at the right hand of the Father. And our desire and our hope is to spend eternity with you. God, my hope is that each child that receives one of these shoeboxes will spend eternity with you when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for the work that you're doing. I thank you for the work that you're doing in and through Operation Christmas Child, through Samaritan's Purse. I thank you that this little dream has grown to be something so great. And Father, the dreams that you've placed in the hearts of people here this morning are going to grow to be something great, because anything that we do for you is a great thing. As we attempt great things for you, we can expect great things from you. So Father, we pray your blessing upon each and every one of these shoeboxes. We pray your blessing upon each person that's here this morning. I ask that your anointing would continue to be upon them, that you would continue to watch over them, and that you would continue to go ahead of them, giving them the strength that they need to accomplish what you're calling them to. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you. We'll see you again next Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store. to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.